A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with us on the line for A Problem Shared. If you have any queries or questions, get them into us now on our numbers on 066 712 3666. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. Tony, good morning to you and thanks for joining us this week.
August Madden va good, Jerry.
Fantastic. Listen, Tony, give us a view on something that's come up during the course of the programme before we get to queries that have come in. We've had a couple of comments in relation to a story I read about a particularly nasty case of coercive control which came before Cork Circuit Criminal Court yesterday. A man was jailed for 2 years for just horrendous examples of controlling behaviour over his partner. One listener says this lady who was in a beautiful relationship is now out the other side, says that people need to know the extremes that women are abused and humiliated. She understands that those who are in loving and normal relationships might find it difficult and hard to hear the horrible facts of such cases, but this needs to get out there and victims need to be heard. Thank you, Radio Kerry, for highlighting this issue on your show this morning. Our caller says she's doing okay now herself, taking it one day at a time, and encourages others to seek help and support. Another caller also says elderly people need protection from coercive control by their adult children. Banks and credit unions need to be on alert and tighten their security measures. Well, one positive side of that is over the last number of years, there's a lot of work has been done in that area by the government and by financial institutions to try and spot when that is happening. But Tony, coercive control, it's been defined, it's been clearly set out in legislation now. There's a lot more focus and attention on it. So that is good news, but it still does happen, unfortunately, and can be terrible on the victim.
It's quite widespread, always has been. And it isn't any one sex. I mean, women can coercively control people just the same. And it's in every human being. We all have a bit of that in us. And if we're reared in a particular way and we have a particular outlook on life, that area can, you know, grow to a great degree. And it's a horrible thing. It is destructive. It is antisocial. It is downright illegal. And, you know, it deserves to be stamped out. That's the only word I can use for it. It needs to be stamped out in our society. And, you know, it's unfortunately as well in the political level of the world and in the business level of the world, this coercive control thing, you know, is happening in various areas. And it's not just an individual thing. It can become literally, you know, a whole society can, you know, get into a particular focus that is making other people do what they want.
That is part of it. But the important thing, I suppose, is that if it is happening, to try and recognise that it's happening, Tony, and hopefully seek help and get some support and get out from under it.
Absolutely. And as you said, there is a huge focus on it now. And there are people available that you can call on. But the first person to call on, I suppose, for directions more than anything else, is your GP. And your GP will then direct you to where you can find someone who will listen and someone who will help.
Yeah, that's for sure. And there is a number of numbers I'll give you. Women's Aid, 1-800-341-900. That's a national free phone helpline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Men's Aid National Confidential Helpline is available on 01-554-3811. On the other side of it. And there is a HSE safeguarding protection team for particularly regards to elder abuse. And that's 021-492-7550. That's 021-492-7550. It's for anyone who's concerned that they're in a relationship like this and the effects it's having at them, whether it's elder abuse or whether it's men to women or women to men. Those are the numbers to help to start reaching out on. Okay, Tony, we have a query in here, and anyone who wants to get queries in, to get them into us now on any of our numbers. But Tony, this one comes in from a listener who says, I've had these very dark thoughts that keep coming into my head. I would have thought that I was a bit too old for this type of thing to happen, but it happens. My problem is I don't have any reasoning voices around me to break this dark mood. The thoughts are about being of no use in the world and about nobody really caring about me. I can't figure out if I'm right or just off with the fairies. I'd be grateful to hear your thoughts. Tony?
That's a very common problem. That's part of everybody, I would say to this person. Everybody at some stage in their lives will have those sort of dark thoughts. And, you know, you nailed it in one way. You know, you said you don't have anybody, you don't have people around with reasoning voices to break the mood. And that is exactly what you need to break that. Because human beings don't see reality as reality. We see it according to what we play, as it were, the tune we play in our brain. And if that tune gets a bit detached or a bit focused in the wrong direction, we then end up seeing things in a particular way. Now, what I would advise you to do immediately is to start thinking about what you can do outside of yourself, i.e. getting involved in the community, in charity shops or Meals on Wheels or helping other people, whatever. That's one area. The other area is to get mobile and get out each day. Even if you're slightly disabled or whatever, get out, talk to people, go into shops, go have a cup of tea in a cafe or whatever. The third thing I would suggest is if you don't have hobbies or interests, and I'm sure everybody has some, you know, it can be music, it can be sport, it can be dancing, it can be art, it can be anything, gardening, whatever. But if you have any hobbies, begin to refocus them. It sounds as if you're, you know, out of focus. And hobbies, especially art and music, you know, because they draw something in the person. They draw out something very, very special in human beings. And if you have any interest whatsoever, you know, get involved in a local group or get involved online or whatever. So they're the sort of things that will actually pull you out of yourself. And if you have a phone or if you're on the internet, you know, there are lots of very good groups. But the trouble is there's too darn many of them. But, you know, you could, you know, get active and in contact with people who would, as you say yourself, you know, have reasonable voices and help you pull out of your mood. And
if you want to be of value, Tony, if you volunteer or get involved in and give of your time, then it will demonstrate to you that you are of value. You have something to offer. So even on a practical side, that could help lift that side of it, perhaps.
Absolutely. That is, I think, the top of the list that I would, you know, if you can get involved and give your time to helping in any way in society, and there are tons of opportunities because there's so many charities and so many different organizations that are just crying out for people, you know, to take any part they can. And it's a lovely way of connecting back into life. And that would be the top, yeah, exactly, as you said, the top of my list as well.
Yeah, indeed. A listener gets in touch in relation to coercive control and says, thank you so much, Jerry, for your coverage of abuse in relationships. You treat it with kindness, empathy and dignity. I was through it twice and I'm still receiving counselling. Out the other side now, but like that person, I'm a changed person and I don't know if I will ever be right again, says a listener. So that's someone on a journey, Tony, and that journey can take a long time to try and get through these situations. But good that they're receiving counselling.
People can come around very much quicker in a situation like that. You know, you're not tied to any time. There is no time scale for getting the head right, as they say. You could be out of it in a couple of months or it could take a couple of years, but you can get out of it.
Certainly can. Okay, another query in here from listener, and they say that we are getting married next year and have started to plan the wedding. My parents are helping with the wedding costs, but his parents have made it clear they do not intend to pay anything towards the wedding costs, and this is causing several arguments. His parents are much better off than mine. They can well afford to help out. I feel aggrieved that we will have to put funds towards the wedding when it could go to something more useful like the deposit in a house. I feel that planning the wedding should be the happiest time of my life, but instead it's become full of stress and tension. What to do?
Oh dear. I immediately pick out two things there. One, you know, that the other parents that are not contributing to the wedding costs are at fault, and you know, it should be the happiest time in your life. I think both of those suppositions are incorrect. One, you know, the weddings, when I was a kid, the weddings were small affairs. There would be sometimes only about a dozen people attend a wedding. And they were held in the local church, essentially. And very often, the reception, as it were held back in the house or in the local pub or whatever. But they were small.
A much smaller deal. Yeah,
and now there seems to be, you know, the idea that there has to be tens of thousands spent on this.
Well, there's a societal pressure on us to have a big day or a big wedding that can, you know, get people spending thousands, I suppose. That's where the pressure is coming from, on one extent.
Yeah, well, I have a particular view, as is becoming very clear to you and anybody listening. But I've also asked a lot of people about their views, and you know, many people feel that there's way too much focus on the day, on the clothes, on the venue, on the food, and all of this huge expense, which, as this person, which they rightly said, it could be going to, you know, a deposit on a house or something like that, and have a, you know, a modest wedding. You know, not, you know, you're not trying to impress anybody or get into the, you know, the top 10 or that sort of stuff. You know, your day is, a wedding is a very private thing. It originally, in religion, it's two people promising to be faithful to each other and bring up children. And that is what a wedding originally was. What it has now turned into is a massive social event. So I would say it's about time to start to think that other people have a completely different view to yours with regard to what a wedding should be. By all means, have, you know, something, but, you know, this planning for months for one day, or maybe 2 days in some cases, or longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a huge waste of money that could go, as you said, towards the, you know, a deposit on a house or some other expense that you're going to meet very quickly.
Okay.
One of the biggest weddings we're out of time, are we?
We are. We'll have to come back to that one next week. But thanks again for brilliant comments and suggestions this morning, as always. That's Tony McGinley with us on the line for Problem Share. We'll be back with us next Wednesday. Get your queries and comments in for him.